Hello, everybody. My name is Anastasia Gaetanou. I'm Greek. I'm from the beautiful city of Thessaloniki in the north of Greece. And I've got a little tongue twister for you today, in Greek, of course. Aspri petra ξέξασπρη και από τον ήλιο ξεξασπρότερη. Which means a white stone is very white and from the sun it gets even whiter. Aspri petra ξέξασπρη και από τον ήλιο ξεξασπρότερη.
With their picture-perfect whitewashed villages set against the deep blue sea, the Greek islands deserve every bit of their fame. A visit to Greece really isn't complete without staying for a few days on at least one of them. My personal favorite is the convenient charm of Hydra. Mykonos and Santorini certainly deserve their fame as well. With over 200 inhabited islands, there's no shortage of options for you to commune with the ancient beauty of Greece instead of the crowds of fellow tourists. Tour guide Apostolos Douras joins us now to help us understand the variety we have to choose from and to recommend some of his favorites among the lesser-known islands of Greece. Apostolos, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Rick. It's a great pleasure.
Boy, the Greek islands are such a romantic dream for a lot of travelers, and there's so many to choose from. Now, there's well over 100 inhabited islands, I understand, and they're organized in groups. The four groups that I think I encounter most in my travels and my travel dreaming, we've got the Cyclades, which is the main island with all the, you know, Santorini and Mykonos and the famous places we like to go. The Ionian Islands, and those are the ones on the Italian side of Greece. That's a smaller group. The ones nestled up against Turkey, the Dodokanes, and then in the north, the Sporades. Forgive my pronunciation. It's an Americanization of those names. Those four groups, can you just very briefly describe the personalities in just a sentence or two for each of them so we could refine our planning?
First of all, let's say about the Cyclades. The Cyclades, we have a group of islands. There are about 25 of them that are inhabited, so a lot of choices for someone to travel from Athens, from the port of Piraeus. Some of these islands in Cyclades, they have also airports. So it doesn't take more than 40-45 minutes to fly from Athens, for example, to Mykonos, Santorini, Naxos. These are some of the islands that have airports of the Cyclades. And this is what we have in our image of the whitewashed houses, the beautiful sea, the golden grass, the wonderful and delicious food, seafood of the Cyclades, the Cyclades, and the Aegean Sea. Another group, as we said, is the Ionians. The Ionian Sea had a lot of influence from Italy, obviously, from the Venetians. So if you go to Corfu, for example, you're going to think you're in Italy, you're not in Greece, because it's been affected culturally by the Italians. If you go towards the Dodecanese, to the island of Rhodes, there you can see a lot of influence by the Crusaders, that they goes back to the 12th, 13th, and 14th century. And this is something unique that you can see on the architecture of the islands. If we go towards the north of Greece, you have a complete different architecture. You don't have any more the whitewashed houses. You have the roofs made of slates, of these black stones. You have balconies in the houses. It's something very different. Also, a lot of the islands, they're more focused also on meat food. For example, goats and sheep. Each island, group of island, has its own character because it's been influenced by different cultures.
Okay, so the classic, the iconic Greek islands would probably be the Cycladic. The Italian-flavored ones are on the Italian side. The Crusaders, that was the powerhouse of the Middle Ages for trade in the Mediterranean. Rhodes is an amazing Crusader city in itself. All of them, I suppose, would have good food and beautiful beaches.
Yeah, and then we have, of course, the island of Crete to the south, which is something unique by itself because we have one of the greatest, most ancient civilizations, if not the most ancient in Europe, the Minoan civilization. So this is something unique as well, a very different island.
Apostolos, if we're thinking of the islands, crowds and heat are two concerns. When would you go? What are the pros and cons of off-season and peak season?
It depends where would you like to go. And it depends if you like swimming or not, or if you would like to go for hiking or just enjoy the landscape. I would suggest the best time to enjoy Greece, it's in June, early June or September, after the middle of September, because school season starts in Greece on the 10th of September. So after the middle of September, it's an ideal time to visit the islands.
Because the kids are back in school, it's less crowded, but it's still warm and nice weather?
Exactly, and the sea is warm. If you're going to go to in May, you will enjoy the landscape, less tourism, but the sea might be colder this time of the year.
We're exploring the lesser-known islands of Greece now with our guide Apostolos Douras on Travel with Rick Steves. Apostolos has been working in tourism in Greece now for almost 20 years and is a student of international politics. And as you might tell from his voice, he used to work as a presenter on Greek radio, hosting Love Songs in the Evening. Apostolos offers tours of modern Athens and organizes small group tours of Crete in the northwest of Greece. His website is wondersofknowledge.com. Now let's talk about jumping from island to island. I've found that the ferries go out from Athens in kind of a charm bracelet. It stops at each little charm on the bracelet, and different ferries have different routes. If you choose several islands on the same ferry route, you'll have daily ferries coming through. But you can also go the other way with less common ferries. To what degree can you just hop aimlessly from island to island from a ferry point of view?
There are many routes. There are many ferry routes. And now in Greece, we have fast ferries like speedboats and also the slow ferry. So you might be in an island in an hour, or it might take you 2 or 3 hours to get to an island. If you take the boat to the same island, it might take you 6 to 8 hours. So now you can have the choice, depending, of course, on your budget. If you take the slow boat, it costs less than taking the speedboat. And many islands, they're interconnected. The smaller islands, they're connected to bigger islands always, like from the island of Naxos, for example, or Mykonos or Santorini, depending where geographically they're situated.
It's a lot like flying in the airplane system in the United States. You fly from big city to big city and you connect to smaller cities near that hub. The same would be true for the ferry service, I would imagine.
Yes, and something I would like to add is, like, recently we have a new metro line that connects the airport to the port of Athens, and that helps a lot. So in an hour from the airport, you can be in Piraeus at the port of Athens getting a boat, and that helps a lot.
Now, when you're on an island, talk about ways you can get around the island, because it's really nice to be able to go to away from the port town. A lot of islands have one major town, one major port, but everybody goes there because that's the entry point and the departure point. But you can get away from the crowds and find the peaceful places if you take that initiative to go to the far side of the island.
Usually the main village of the island where the port is, it's the one which is mostly developed, where there's a lot of accommodation. But usually there's a capital, the second town, which is usually built on the top of a hill. And you can go from one place to the other on an island by taking small boats that goes around the island. Internally, you can rent a car, depending how big the island is, for example, or there are bus routes that you can get the bus timetable from your hotel, and you can go from one village to the other. So you can have that option as well. So it doesn't mean you need to have a car. Obviously, having a car on a big island, it's very helpful because you can make your own plan. But don't forget, many islands, they're very well organized, having to do with public transportation. So especially when you're traveling off season, the buses are not going to be full with people and there's not going to be a lot of traffic.
And I would think the buses are very inexpensive.
Oh, super. Like €2 for a ticket, very inexpensive. And you can have printed or on your phone your schedule. And the local people always are so helpful. You can always ask them when the return bus going back to town, and everyone speaks English pretty much. So I don't see there's going to be any problem of communication.
When you arrive at an island, should you have a hotel or a bed and breakfast reserved in advance, or do people meet the ferry and try to get you to come to their accommodations?
I would say nowadays it's better if you book before a room, a hotel, or an Airbnb, unless you really go off season. If you go, for example, like towards the end of October or after Easter holidays. But I would suggest book before.
booking in advance. So you're in a town and you have a choice. You're there for the beaches. You want to lay on the beach and take a little swim. There's different kinds of beaches that you could choose from. When I was on Mykonos, it was just like a string of beaches, and it progressed. It went family-friendly beach, kind of a jet-setter beach with a disco and dancing and with a meat market and all the beautiful people. And then beyond that, a nude beach. And then you could go to the other side of the island and have an empty beach that was just dramatic and peaceful, and you felt like you were all alone on an isolated island. Does that kind of explain the variety of beaches?
It does, and you're absolutely right. It depends. How would you like to spend your vacation? You can go to an isolated beach and you can be just you and just a couple of other people. And you can sit down under the shade of, you know, a small tree and put your towel on the sand and just enjoy. But if you want, you can go to a more cosmopolitan beach where you can go to a small beach bar, for example.
Yeah.
And you would like to go and rent a sunbed. So there's something for everyone, I would say, depending your taste. And of course, you just have to ask the locals when you can find, of course, information on the internet. Mm-hmm. But the best is to ask the local people when you're there for the type of beach you would like to go. But you can still find that even in the most cosmopolitan places, if you want to isolate from the crowds, you still can. But of course, I would say try to avoid these places in July and August.
What about nude beaches? Is that still a thing?
It is the same, yes. If people they want to go and swim nude, they can. Usually there are special beaches where you can go and enjoy, and it is not considered a taboo if you go to a beach and you can go nude swimming. Of course, you wouldn't go to a family beach. It's common sense, but there's no issue with that. If you would like to do that, you can definitely do that pretty much in all the islands.
I think the issue is not can you do it or not, but will you get sunburned or not?
It is. And so I have to say only one word, sunscreen, because many people, when they come to Greece, they go to the islands and then you see them and, you know, it can be very hurtful. So I would say, you know, wear your sunscreen and your hat and you're going to be just fine. But it has to be number one on your packing list.
And especially skin that has never seen the sun. A lot of us don't realize, yeah, your arm is used to the sun, but other parts of your body, be careful.
Exactly.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Apostolos Doros. We're learning some tips about enjoying the Greek Isles. Apostolos is from Athens. He organizes small group tours around Greece, and his website is wondersofknowledge.com. Apostolos, it's so fun to talk about these Greek islands, and it's such an important topic for so many travelers who are going to Greece and they want to get out of Athens. If you are going to the islands and you've done your beach time or you don't want to go to the beach, what are some other highlights of the islands? Just quickly review the different attractions you might enjoy, pastimes.
First of all, you can go for a nice walk in town to explore the town, the architecture. You can sit down and have a coffee in the main square of the main village on an island and interact with the locals. You can visit a museum because all islands have pretty much an archaeological museum. You can go and find out about the local history that it can cover mm-hmm. thousands of years, as you know, in Greece. And also, if you happen to be there during the summer, especially July and August, do participate in a religious festival, as we call it Panigiri, mm-hmm. where the local people, they meet, they dance, they share their food, and they're having a wonderful time, and you can explore the local island culture through dancing and food. So don't miss that. If you're there, always ask the locals, is there a religious festival at the moment we can participate? I definitely recommend that.
I have got beautiful memories of exactly that. If you hit a festival, a religious festival, I've always found that the islanders love to have a traveler in their midst, partying with them, dancing with them, eating and drinking with them. I'm thinking, I just want to get back to one practical issue. I found it confusing because there were different ferry companies and I couldn't get the complete schedule unless I went to the port authority. There's like the harbor police and they know every boat. Nowadays, how do you know definitively when's the next ferry to Patmos or Ios or Naxos from your island? Where do you find that information?
First of all, there are so many websites you can find the information online about the ferries. But also, if you happen to be on an island, there's always, by the port, a main tourist agency where all the schedules are written outside the local travel agency. You can just walk in and ask them, and you can book your tickets there.
Very important advice. Thank you. And I was thinking, Apostolos, most Americans that go to a Greek island are going there by cruise ship. And I would think the big cruise ships go to 4 or 5 islands, and the smaller cruise ships go to more islands than that. But when the cruise ship docks, that island suddenly becomes crowded with tourists. What is your advice for somebody who's visiting the islands on a cruise ship?
It depends how much free time you have in one of the ports. If you have enough free time to escape the crowds and go and see something out of town, that will help a lot, so you can see more of the local color. And I would suggest, do your research before if you have free town in one of the main towns, so you know exactly where you're going to be going and where you're going to be seeing, and that makes perfect time management.
Here's a tip that I like. I was doing a Mediterranean cruise one time, and the last stop before returning to Athens at the finish of the cruise was Mykonos. And I arranged to leave the ship on Mykonos and spend a couple of days on Mykonos and being an independent traveler, and then taking a ferry or an airplane back to Athens. And the happiest moment for me, when I took my bag off of that big ship with 3,000 tourists, I checked into my little bed and breakfast, and I sat on the beach drinking my ouzo, watching the cruise ship sail away with all of the tourists. And the sun was going down, and Mykonos took on a whole different personality. I had my efficiency in front of the cruise, but I had two beautiful vacation days without all of that intensity. That was a lovely opportunity, and I'll never forget it, and I'll never regret it.
I can imagine. It must have been a unique experience, because you just feel free. You have your own time. You can do whatever you like. So I would like to be in your own place as well. I have lived that moment, of course, under other circumstances, being in a small town, in a village, seaside village, just looking at the boats come and go, and just relaxing and contemplating the universe, just relaxing and thinking about your life.
Yeah. Contemplating the universe, or just contemplating your navel. You know, you don't have to be into anything big, or you can be into something big, but there's nothing like the joy of a cruise and then the joy of being off the cruise and being on the island without the tourists.
Very smart, Rick.
Apostolos Duros, thank you so much for joining us, and I look forward to seeing you in Greece next time I'm flying into Athens. Thanks so much, and enjoy your island time.
Thank you, Rick. It's been a pleasure. Enjoy the Greek islands.
You'll find web links to our guests with the notes for each week's show at ricksteves.com/radio. Let's come back to the Greek mainland, next in the delightful company of British actress Joanna Lumley. She's long had a special affection for Greece, and a few years back, she filmed a charming 4-part TV series on her travels there. She takes us along from Athens to the north of Greece next on Travel with Rick Steves.